So if there's anything that resonates with you or that agrees with you or that you can relate to or that stings you, I just want y'all to say show up truth, all right? Every time you hear something that affects you in any kind of way, good, bad, and different, just shout out truth, okay? Let the devil know that you're about the truth, amen? Let him know you live by the truth, right? Amen. So right at the top of your page, finish what you started. Amen. Hello. Truth, 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 truth all night. As a subtopic, put, what are you looking at? Finishing what you started has a lot to do with focus. This is why I'm asking you, what are you looking at? That's something that needs to resonate in your spirit. So I'm going to read you some facts, and then we're going to get into the scripture. All right, so take a good look at the people all around you. Take a moment, take a good look at the people all around you. You're going to find what we call good starters. How many are good starters? They are more good starters in the world than they are finishers. How many know that? That's the truth. Okay? There's people that are good starters that have great intentions to succeed, but have a lot of promising ideas that never materialize to much. So, you know, when you go out and start your little great exploits, whether it be in the Lord or business or marriage, you start off strong. Great starters. You're all like, kissing each other, you're all happy and everything, and you're all in love, and then that person just passes gas or something in the house, or didn't put the toilet seat down, or said the wrong thing, or they said, what are you looking at? And then it starts an argument, and then all of a sudden you don't get to finish what you started. Then you start to procrastinate and miss deadlines. And then projects never get finished, and they become an infinity project. Amen. Ouch. Truth. Doesn't that sound familiar, eh? So more than anything, becoming a finisher is about staying motivated from a project's beginning to seeing it to its end. How many are ready and willing to see something through to its end? I mean, for real. You're tired of working your business hard, and it just don't seem to materialize too much of anything. For real. There's something that's missing there that's not allowing you to complete the point that you need to get to the next point. Something is missing. And I'm going to explain to you tonight what's missing. So whatever storm you're going through in life, you can just get motivated by what? Getting focused. God gave me this acronym a couple years ago, but it was actually on online. It's follow one course until successful. That's the problem with finished people who are good starters. They don't follow their course consistently until they become successful in what they started in. And then they get into a whole bunch of other things in between and forgot what they started because they got off course. How many can, I can relate to that. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so what are you looking at during that time? Finishing is about focus. So for whatever you're focused on determines if you're going to finish. Write that down. Whatever you're focused on determines whether you're going to finish or not. Y'all, people that are business minds, those that are willing and ready to embark on ministry, those that are in marriages, really need to pay attention to this because this is very valid and important. To not repeat last year, telling them, I don't want to live last year. I want to finish. Amen. John 1:14, if you turn there with me, John 1:14 is so important, so prevalent to understanding how to become a finisher. John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. And the Word was made flesh, which means Christ came to the earth to show you the living sacrifice that He can be and live, without sin. And live this life, die on that cross, finish this task, complete this task, and be an example of a finisher, the ultimate finisher. And then we see here that it says that we beheld His glory, the glory as of one of the begotten of the Father. And this word glory, I like, I mean, doxos, we know this word here so greatly. And I love this word because it describes the opinions and judgments and the view, okay, the view of Christ. See, it says that we beheld what? This is his glory. This is his opinion, his view. But we have to behold, we have to take a hold of his opinion, his view, not ours. See, that's the focus. Sometimes you get caught up in your friend's opinions, and then it weighs heavy on you, and you get off course. And now you're not following one course until successful. Now you're following, you know, depression, hurt, and pain, bitterness, anger, hurt. And it throws you off your pattern of life and what you were originally starting to do. Marriage is the same way. Jobs are the same way. You came in there saying, well, I'll start off as a clerk, but I'm going to get into that management position. And then you start getting envious because, you know, a year has passed. Wow. And, you know, you're ready to be on management pole when it took the other person 5-6 years to get there. And now you're way off course in what you intended to do when you first got this job. And you know when you're with the team gets to be able to climb the ladder a little faster. You're not a team player. You don't stay in the same seat forever. So you're going to be a team player. It's the same thing with ministry. You're not a team player. You don't roll with the punches with leadership and what God is doing within the ministry. You will feel left behind when you're not really beholding the glory. You're not looking at it with the lens that Christ wears, with his opinion. Does Christ's opinion weigh heavy on you? Does his viewpoint weigh heavy on you? Is his view more important than the views of the people around about you? And I don't care if it's your spouse or your best friend or your mother, your father, or your friends. Those opinions cannot weigh heavier than God's opinion of you. So first point is you have to be able to finish because your focus and your opinions are being weighed heavily because of Christ, not because those that are around about you, those oppressors and those haters and those people that you love and you love to hate. And here we go to Matthew 14, and we're going to read from verse 25 to 32. Matthew 14, 25, we'll start at 25 if you're there, say amen. And it says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. By the way, right here you see the fourth watch of the night. This is not midnight. This is the pitch black time in the night, like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. This was the fourth watch. This is the last hour into the day. So imagine this situation. And they went out in the night where Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Now remember, in this story, just to be abbreviated, Jesus told them to get into the water and go out, and he'll meet them on the other side, right? So now we see that the disciples were following Jesus. They were beholding his glory. They were following his opinion, his command, and his view. Okay? So they're getting in the water. And then now here we go on the fourth watch of the night. Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Imagine how Jesus comes to us when we're focused. He's smooth. He don't come on dry land. He's coming on the sea toward you. So when you're going through a storm, your friend can't walk to you on water on that storm. He can't save you. She can't save you. Your spouse can't save you. Your boss can't save you. They can't save you. And they can't come as smooth as Jesus walking on water to change your situation. So here comes Jesus, smooth as all out goes. And I love Jesus. He's cool as a cool cat. Jesus is walking on water. You know, he split the sea and all that, but he's walking on the water here. And, you know, he's probably thinking, you know, I told them to meet me here. Why are they even worried about anything? Why? Because they lost their focus. What were they looking at? They started good. They were great starters. They followed his command. Then they got off their path, yet again, not following their course until successful, and Jesus had to come save the day in a really cool way. That was cool, though. I would have liked to witness that. Okay. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out of fear. This is the problem when you start off strong and then you lose it midstream. You don't even know when Jesus is coming your way because you're so focused on the negatives. You're so focused on the problem. You're so focused in trepidation that the problem, you can walk over top of it just like Jesus did. Now I'm listening to you. And he saw them, and they cried out of fear. How many times you cried to Jesus? "Oh, Jesus, come save me. The dude is right there." He's like, "Look, I can walk on water. I don't need to physically materialize in front of you. I can give you a good word. I can give you the promotion you want. I can give you the marriage that you want, the good things that you want." But you're not seeing that. You're afraid. Some people get so afraid of success. Some people are so afraid of succeeding. They don't want to embark on the next mission that they need to get on and on the path that they need to get on to get to the next year. Okay? I plan to make some great exploits. I plan to be able to do some great things. Who's riding this wave with me? I'm not afraid. I was afraid. But I took my eyes off of Jesus and started getting afraid. Because I was depending on man to make a way for me. God is the only way that can make the way. So I had to get my eyes back on Jesus and focus on him. And I hope to be successful in this course that I'm running. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Oh, so what happens? Here comes a good starter. His name is Peter. He's a good starter. I love Peter. Are we all Peter sometimes? You know, we could be hard as a rock, because that's what his name means, the rock. We could be hard-headed, or we could go by faith and really walk on some things that we feel is stopping us and holding us back. So he comes to Peter, and he's like, "Oh, shoot, that's Jesus, okay?" And he answered to him, "Lord, if thou bid me to come unto thee on the water, I'll come." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water like who? Like Jesus. He didn't walk on water like the disciples. He didn't walk on water like any scared man. He didn't go and look to man. He didn't look to his brothers. He called out to that spirit that he saw in that water that people were afraid of. And he said, "You know, call me out there. Look, I could do that." How are we so afraid to do the things that Jesus did on the earth? And we denounce him so much every day, saying, "I'm too afraid. I don't think I can." Y'all ain't saying truth here. "I think I can." Yes, yes, you can. Too afraid. The devil is afraid. That's the problem. See, the devil is afraid of promotion in y'all. The devil is afraid of you doing well. He don't want you to succeed. He wants you to go back to the bar. He wants you to go get high. He wants you to go drink. He wants you to go lust. He wants you to go have an explicit affair. He wants you to ruin your life. He don't want you walking on water. He don't want you walking on top of your situation. He don't want you doing that. If Peter could do it, you could do it. Peter was just another man. Take away the word apostle, he was still another man. A hard-headed one on top of it. So was it his calling of an apostleship that made him walk on water? It was his focus and that he fixed his eyes on Jesus that allowed him to walk on water. So don't think you need a credential, you need a certificate, or you need some ordination to be able to be successful in what you're talking and what you're walking and what you're doing. I had nothing when I met my husband. I didn't even have a high school diploma. I just got that 2 years ago, and I'm 45 years old. Hello. I was walking on water, and I started sinking like Peter did, and I started doubting when I started looking at the people around about me, when I started seeing what success might have looked like. You know, it looked like success. That was a success. That wasn't my success. Your success ain't my success. It's not. Thank you, baby. It's not my success. I'm mandated to do something different than all y'all were mandated to do. We can all be in ministry together, but we all have a separate thing that we have to do collectively, but individually first. See, and when Peter started sinking, he got his mind off of the original thought, which is, bid me, master, bid me, teacher, bid me, Jesus, to do what you say I can do. See, he became a finisher at that point. Then he doubted. How can we finish today? He said, be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. And Peter started answering him and saying, yeah, come on, I'm going to do it. And Peter came down out of the ship and he walked on water as Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterously, he got afraid and began to sink, crying out, Lord, come on, save me, God. What are you talking about? We're on the same wavelength here. We are balanced together. How are you scared? Didn't you defeat some health condition where you couldn't walk and your face was twisted up? And look at you now. How could you doubt God after that? How could you doubt God after that? You walked on water. Good God. Lord Jesus. What are you looking at? You sit here doubting everything around you. For what? I'm telling you, that devil is a liar. He's a liar. Let me share something with you real quick because I don't want to go too fast. So Peter was walking over top of his problems because he had his eyes on Jesus. And when he took his eyes or his focus off of Jesus, he began to sink into his problems. How many of y'all sinking in your problems? For real. Like, you like, oh, Jesus. And Jesus is bidding you to him. Stay right here. Here. When you take your eyes off of him, you're losing it. You're losing your anointing. You're losing your family. You're losing your children. You're losing your mind. Because you're listening to the liar and the father of it. Romans 16:20 says, see, Jesus was walking on water. Peter was walking on water. Peter started sinking into the water underneath because he took his eyes off of Jesus. So, don't we have power over serpents? I'm just saying. Romans 16:20 says, and God, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under his feet shortly. So who is going to allow themselves to be bruised, or are we going to bruise Satan ourselves under our feet? Jesus was showing them, this is how you defeat Satan. You ain't sinking in no situation as long as we stay focused here. First Corinthians 15:25-28. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under your feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things, what? Under your feet. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifested that he is it is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. He puts Satan under your feet. You have the authority to trample over the enemy because Peter is proof of that. Because when Jesus said, come, he was able to trample over top of the situation and the storm that they were going through. Y'all ain't shouting enough. See, this is true. This is true. And he is, because he is all in all. He is all encompassing of everything. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the foremost authority of your life from beginning to end. There's nothing greater than Jesus. He is all in all. You can't make a person your all in all. Or you're going to be losing focus all the time. You getting married, he ain't your all in all. There's a tier. See, it's Jesus first. Okay? There's no man above Jesus.
He'll fix it. If he sees fit, he'll fix it. Ephesians 1:22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Church, he gave you the authority and the power over the enemy. Why can't you finish what you started? Are we getting this tonight? How are we going to finish what we started? How? With who? With our eyes what? On who? We said this on our candle visual. Because of who? If you stay focused on who, you could trample over anything. 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 I know people who dodged bullets because of who? Because only they were focusing on who? That's how you do it. I'm telling you right now. Let's get to the main scripture here, and then we're going to give you some points. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 2. It says, wherefore, seeing we also have compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, say Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, he is the author and the finisher. He's the one that writes the pages of your life. He is the originator of your life. He created you. So how are you going to say somebody's going to finish you off? How are you going to be on the streets talking about, I'm going to get off? Somebody going to off me on the streets? No. He is the author and the finisher. It's your lifestyle that's going to dictate whether you're going to be finished on the street or you're going to be with Jesus. But he is all in all. He is author and finisher. That's Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and he is the end. How many are willing to be able to allow the author and the finisher to be that over your life? You have to be able to allow him to be the author and finisher of your life. Now listen, it says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. There are so many testimonies of people that have been allowed to be living this finishing lifestyle. They were able to complete the task. Their children were able to continue the task. So it continued on to be able to be successors in what God called them to be. So don't think it ends when you die, unless Jesus comes back. Looking unto the author and finisher, who's ready to look unto the author and the finisher of your life? Who is the author right now, for real? Be honest. Do some self-inspection right now before we get to these points. Really do some self-inspection and ask yourself, who is the author of my life? Who is writing the pages of my daily walk, of my daily life? Who is turning the pages for me? Or am I allowing Jesus Christ to do that? Because he created you from the dust of the earth. So why are we treating people like they are creators? Why are we treating people like they are the creators of this world? If you can, write this down. I'm going to give you 5 points and then we're going to move on to the service. The first point is, a finisher is about staying motivated from projects from beginning to its end. Write that down. You got business to get taken care of. Write that down. You got that business. I believe the Lord is going to bless that business. He's going to make you a completer and a finisher of his work through you. A finisher is about staying motivated from a project's beginning to its end. Y'all writing that down? 2, finishers force themselves to stay focused on the goal and never congratulate themselves on a job half done. Okay? Because it's not done. You stay focused on the goal. It's okay to pat yourself on the back along the way, but not until it's completed is when you rejoice in that thing. That's what the hindrances for a lot of us. We hit one little milestone and we're like, woohoo, all right, yay. And we stop right there. 3, great leaders and managers create great finishers by reminding them to keep their eyes on the prize and are careful to avoid giving other expressive praise or rewards for hitting milestones along the way. See, I'm only going to tell you well done, but so much. Because if I keep bigging you up with just a quarter of a mile of a 10-mile race you're supposed to run, you're not going to finish it. You're going to be standing there with, woohoo, I'm feeling good about this little quarter mile, and you're going to stop. That's why leaders don't do but so much patting on the back. In other words, celebrate progress, but don't get stuck on one achievement. Continue to the next one and the next goal to successfully bring about completion. For example, when I get my associate's degree, I'm not going to celebrate but so much because I still got to get my bachelor's in the degree I'm trying to. I'm going to stay stuck in the woohoo and never get it done. 10 years down the line, I'm a professional student in college. For real. Point number 4, encouragement is important, but to keep your team motivated or yourself motivated, save the accolades for a job well done and completely done. Okay, encouragement is important, but as my husband and I having a team of people in our ministry, to keep you guys motivated or for you to stay motivated individually, you got to save over accolades, okay? So until the job is completely done, and then you know, guess what? You're going to want to hit another goal because achieving a goal makes you more empowered to do better and more and more. So I'm never going to have full knowledge of anything because I'm going to always desire to learn more and more and apply more and be better and greater, not arrogant, not prideful, but better and greater in what I've been called to do. So the last point, and it's a little long, so if you're writing it down, I'll read it to you a couple times. Finishers know failing is in your path of finishing. So it's okay to not have a consistent flow during your time. It's if you stop because you had a small failure moment, that is the hindrance, and your focus comes off your path, and now you're sinking again in your situation. Someone once said something along the lines of, show me someone who has made no mistakes, and I will show you someone who has never achieved much. Hello. Getting things done owes a lot to being prepared to fail. Getting things done is owed a lot to being prepared to fail. Making progress is the most important thing to do every day. So when you have one little moment, don't fall into failure. Get up and keep making progress. You will be successful. You will achieve the things that you want to get done. It's 12 months in a year, 365 days, 52 weeks in a year. What are you going to do? What are you going to be looking at? What are you ready to finish? Rather than aiming to achieve perfection at one time, decide to learn so that you can make steady improvements. This is why many people avoid New Year's resolutions, as I do. Instead, just setting daily goals and trying to pick away at them daily. Each time I do something, I am aiming to do it better than the last time. Tell your neighbor, each time you do something, aim to do better than the last time. Each time you do something, aim to do better than the last time. It is so important, support. It is so important. You're not a failure. You're not a loser. You're not defeated because you didn't get it done this year. You're not defeated because we're not going to get it done in 20 minutes. But you got another year. You got 52 weeks. You got 365 days, 12 months in a year to get it done. Who's ready and willing to get it done today? Come on, be a finisher. Be a finisher. Make mistakes, improve upon yourself, and learn from your mistakes. And then make more mistakes. It's okay. Making mistakes says you're on your journey to success. If you're afraid to make a mistake and you turn back and stop, then you're not achieving success. You're falling back into a pity party You're falling back into the waters like Peter was. You need to get back up on your feet and fix your eyes on Jesus and trample over Satan. Trample over those demons that are trying to stop you from doing the things you're trying to get done. But if somebody helps you along your journey, you can't hold their hand forever. You need to let it go and allow yourself to trust God to walk over top of your situation. Who's a finisher today? Who's ready? Who's willing? Who's ready to put their eyes on the right place they need to be? I want you all to finish what you're starting today. Don't wait till midnight. Tell yourself now. Commit to yourself now. Make a truth commitment today to say, I'm going to do whatever it is. Say it out loud. Say it in your heart. And I'm going to commit to hitting the pavement, to focusing on this thing all day, every single day of this year. I'm not going to come off my path. I'm not going to be deterred. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to be afraid. And when I am afraid, I'm going back to that scripture. And I'm going to remember that Peter started sinking when he got scared. And he took his eyes off of Jesus. And I'm not going to get scared. And I'm not going to take my eyes off of Jesus. How many are willing to do that today? I'm talking about something you really want and intend to achieve in this, in your life this year. Raise your hands up. I don't want you to be afraid to shout out that thing, because the devil wants you to shut up.